I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. By what authority is this? They were astounded at Jesus' teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Authority. A sense of assuredness. A sense of deep speaking forcefully without any hint of regret, without any hint of fear, but saying, this is what God commands. You can imagine what it was like in that time when Jesus went into the synagogue. There was a person with the unclean spirit, today we would say had a psychic distress, and was screaming out, and Jesus was able to deal with that situation and heal that person. It would have been mind-boggling for the people, for in that time, they did not understand mental illness. They always felt that mental illness had an unclean spirit within the person, and maybe was caused by sin, that this person had sinned a great deal, and that's why they were in the state they were in. Today, we have a deeper understanding of illness. But in that time, it was just mind-blowing for them to see what had happened. So what does authority mean? Jesus was unafraid. He knew that he had the divine power of God within him, and he spoke with conviction, and he spoke with authority, and he also spoke with love and in healing. And he did not play any games. At that time, the people were accustomed to seeing the priests who were going to do healing to do magic. They tried to do magic stuff and tricks. And this is how people had come to learn that what their healers were about. But Jesus would have none of that. And instead was with authority and with love. I'm sure there was a great deal of compassion as Jesus spoke and ministered at that time. For in that time, the people were really in a time of confusion. There were a lot of idols around. They were still under the influence of the Greek and Roman Empire. And the Greek and Roman Empire had its whole system of gods of the empire. And people would have booths set up around where they would go and have food sacrificed to these idols. And others would go to these places. Some people were hungry, and they would take the food and eat it. And Paul was saying to the people of Corinth, don't do that. You don't need to do that. If food is what's taking you away from God, then try to go without food. And in other places, Paul reminds them that, as Jesus had taught, God understands your need for food. But don't, in your need to gain something, go and subvert your principles. Stay true to who you are. Stay true to your belief in God. So where does that take us today? We living in 2018, we know that God loves us. And we know that the word of Jesus, who is God speaking, is love. And that we are called to love and to act in a loving way. And we in the Anglican Church today are part of what's known as the emergent church movement, where we're not afraid to take on issues that are new to our own time and to work with them in a way as we understand that Jesus would work with the issues. I spent a lot of my time when I wasn't here this week at the Synod. And we had a special gathering for clergy. And we dealt with the situation of human sexuality, and especially in the area of gay, lesbian, and transgendered people. And we had a person who came and presented to us, whose name is Lisa, but she started out her life as Jim. And she talked about her journey and how she understood from about the age of 3 that she was a woman trapped in a man's body, and what her life was like, and the pain she endured, and the challenges she endured, and the journey as she transitioned. And she, in her time of life, tried to do it with responsibility. She had, as a younger person and as a man, had got married and had children. And she waited till the children had all grown up and her wife was settled a bit. And she talked to her wife and she said, "This is who I really am." And she made that transition. And she talked about the painfulness of that transition and how she had oftentimes been bullied because of it. Bullied before she transitioned because she was a very effeminate man, and bullied after by members of her then Christian community who didn't quite understand. And I thought to myself as I was listening to her talk that, wow, what a church to be in, where there was this room full of clergy listening to this woman share her journey. And the clergy received her with love and compassion and understanding. No judgment. A sense of understanding, new research about human sexuality. And I'll give you a little example of that in a second. But just a sense that the church was engaged in a loving way with this person's journey, receiving her and having understanding. The thing that came out was that we have lived and we've grown up, and even in when the Bible was written, we thought of human sexuality as being binary. You're either male or female. But we now know that that's not the case. We know that all of us are formed in our mother's womb first as a woman, and our maleness, for those of us who are male, comes along a couple of weeks later. It evolves, and in that journey, that spectrum, some stop along the way. And so some are very male and some are not very male, and some are very strongly female and some are not. And so that's known as non-binary human sexuality. And the reality today is that we're all non-binary human sexual people. And I thought, well, here I am with a church of people, of clergy, who are hearing this and respecting it and gaining this knowledge. And we have a responsibility to share this in the pastoral communities where we serve. That's why it's here today. But it's also the sense that the church was exhibiting the love of Jesus Christ. And the church is called to receive people in a way that is wholesome and caring. And that's part of the message of Jesus when he dealt with the person who had the unclean spirit. Jesus spoke with authority and without fear. He wasn't worried about the culture of the day. He was worried about the situation. And that's who we are called to be in 2018. We are called to take risks. I should have my hand puppet of the giraffe here. To stick our necks out, to have a big heart, and to care about the people we work with. And to not get all hung up on prior knowledge, but to deal with the situation that now really is. To speak, once we know the facts from as much as we can find out, to speak with authority. To speak with authority in love. And even when it feels uncomfortable, just to know that's an emotion and is not necessarily the truth. A church is called to speak with love in a strong way. So what's the implication of that for us sitting here in All Saints Agassiz this morning? Well, we are called to wrestle with these truths, and we are called to know that we are part of a church that's not afraid to deal with real issues that surround us now. We have the choice of running back and hiding in theological thought from 2,000 years ago or 1,600 years ago that was formulated by the year 400, or we have the ability to stand up and wrestle with the issues of our age based in what we know from the past, the primary thing being that Jesus is love and calls us to love ourselves and one another as well as loving God. And so there we are. You may wonder, why does the church get involved and tackle these issues? It's because we are called to love. We are called to be involved. We're called to engage in the world that we're in and not to pretend that we're in some other world. We're living now, and we're called to speak to the world now in a way that's caring. And so today, as we receive this Eucharist, and as we are preparing ourselves for Lent, which is coming up very soon, to start reflecting on ourselves, how can I speak with the authority that I have from God to speak to the issues of today and to do it in a way that's fearless? And I pray that the Holy Spirit will come and fill us to give us the sense of authority, but also giving us the ears to hear the needs of others around us in a real way, in a way that's loving, compassionate, and healing. For that's what we are called to do as we are following in the footsteps of Jesus, our Savior. May God bless us all. Amen.